Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing our duty to God. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight, God, for your word, God, that you've given us, God. We might not sin against you, God. Father, I thank you for this day of all of your grace and all of your mercy that is new to us. And Father, I thank you for the new grace and new mercy that you have waiting for us for tomorrow, God. Father, I thank you for you allowing us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, God. Father, I thank you for you allowing us to learn to love ourselves better each and every day, God. And Father, I thank you for us practicing loving others better each and every day, God, so that we can please you, serve you, trust you, and obey you. Father, I thank you for you allowing us to have a desire to choose life and blessings, God. And Father, I thank you for you teaching us something tonight that's going to draw us closer to you and allow us to claim more dominion for your kingdom right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
And if raging hours is shifting the atmosphere, somebody just help me do that. And it's breaking. My brain is shifting the atmosphere. Every old will be destroyed. I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. Help me say it. And it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving. And it's breaking. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. One more time. Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say to take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I'll lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing our duty to God. And our duty to God is something that is absolute. It is something that we must engage in. And when we know that we are fulfilling our duty to God, then we can have peace. we can have power, we can have purpose, and we can be intentional in all that we do. Many people want to know what God is asking of them. What is God asking them to do? And that is one of the reasons why it's so absolutely important for each and every one of us to study God's word for ourselves so that we can hear God's voice tell us what he wants us to do according to his word. When we look at the Old Testament, when we look at the challenges that God had with his people, getting them to obey his will, to follow his commands, to respond to his love affirmatively. When we look at that dynamic in the Old Testament, it's very similar to what occurs in our own personal life, because God is asking us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's asking us to love ourselves, and he's asking us to love others, even our enemies. And one of the reasons that God is doing this is because God has a vision. God's vision is that he will dwell with mankind, and mankind will dwell with him. And God's, if I had to have a mission statement for God, it would be that God's mission statement is for us to draw all nations to God by our example of powerful love. And it's fascinating because powerful love starts with love for God and then extends to love for self and then extends for love to others. And that power of love is what exemplifies the nature of God, God's heart, and God's family. And God's intent in the Old Testament was that his people, the children of Israel and Judah, they would be a blessing to all the other nations of the earth. And it was their example that was supposed to lead the other nations to come to God. And instead, what happened was their example was horrible. Their example was treacherous. They did what even the Gentile nations did not do. The heathen nations did not even change gods. They had idols that they worshiped, and each nation had its own idols, and they worshiped those idols, right? God's people who were called by God to be his children, they were the children of the creator of the heavens and the earth, a living God with power who could see them, who could hear them, who could touch them, who could feel them, who could dwell with them, who could protect them, right? Who drew them out of slavery. This God that cared for them so much, loved them so much, was abhorred by his people. They literally turned their back on their God, the children of Israel in the Old Testament. And what you see is God honors his commitment to his people in spite of their adultery, in spite of their whoring with other gods. And God chastened his people, and he chastened them with a sword. He chastened them with famine. He chastened them with pestilence. He chastened them with captivity, with slavery, in order to perfect them and let them and the other nations know that he is the Lord. He is the God of the earth, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And power comes from God. And God told his people in the Old Testament, if you do what I say, then you'll be blessed and you will have life. And if you do not do what I say, then you'll be cursed and you will have death. And then he said, you choose. I've set before you these two things. Now, God's intent was that his people would choose to be blessed and to receive life. But instead, they chose to be cursed through disobedience, and they received death. And until they got it, until they passed the test, until they submitted to the will of God. And for us, it is the same type of challenge in a different context. The context here being that God paid the ultimate price for our sin by sending his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and I, so that we could be worthy to stand before his presence individually. And we could enter into the presence of the throne of God at any time. And we can receive God's grace and God's mercy every day to allow us to boldly go before him and receive grace to help in the time of need. And once again, our duty to God is to have a heart of love, to have a life of service, to have a mindset of peace, and then to have an operation of absolute power, that Holy Spirit that resides within us. We are intended to draw others to God the same way that God's intent in the Old Testament was that God's nation, God's people, the children of Israel, would draw all of the other nations to worship God. And what you see is when God's people were following after God, when they were obeying God's commands, when they were being blessed by God, that the other nations feared them because they feared their God. They understood that you can't stand against the God of the children of Israel because he subdued Pharaoh for them, the king of Egypt, and others who perished because God's hand was with them, because they were in obedience to God. But when they were not obedient, when they were disobedient, what you saw was the other disobey. If you do not do what I command you to do, then you will have a curse instead. And the other nations will scoff at you. And that's what they did. They said, what nation in their right mind changes gods, chases after other nations' gods? And that's what they were doing. They were turning their back on the God that took them out of slavery, the God that brought them into the promised land, the God that blessed them with all power and all of these blessings and covenants and all of these things. And they turned their back on all of that and started chasing after other gods and offering up their firstborn children as sacrifices, living human sacrifices to these gods. And God was furious. And what happens is when we take on that same mindset of rebellion, and you ask yourself, why is it considered rebellion? Well, basically, God married himself to his people Israel in the Old Testament. And instead of receiving their God, which was the only living God, which was the most powerful God who created the heavens heavens and the earth, and caused all nations to tremble at the children of Israel because of his relationship with them. They started chasing after the gods of nations that they saw as being powerful and influential and financially prosperous and other things. And in the process of them chasing after these foreign gods, they were rebelling against God and saying, we want to choose. We want to seek out our own God, our own interests. And in doing that, they were rejecting God. They were turning their back on God. And what they were doing was inviting into their life the chastening of God that came as a result of his love, because they were choosing the curse over the blessing. And when they did that, when they rebelled against God and choosing the curse of God over the blessing of God, they were causing the other nations to suffer as well, because they were discounting God as well. And they were saying, well, if his own people do this to him, his own people reject him, then what kind of God is that? And what God did was he used those nations to punish his people, and then he punished those nations for punishing his people. And in the process, in the end, all nations had to know and observe that God is real, that his people are the children of Israel, and his name is he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And his praise is that his will be done, and all power comes from him. And his glory is that his people will dwell with him, and he will dwell with his people. And those who he has called and those who he has blessed will be called and blessed by him. And so now, when we take this into account and look at our responsibility to God, our duty to God, to have this heart of love, to live a life of service, to have a mindset of peace, and to walk in an operation of absolute power, I want to see what the Bible has to say to us about this. So when I look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 15, it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, this was God's command. His command was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is what we're supposed to be doing. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And he was speaking to disciples at the time, right after he had shown himself to them, after he was raised from the dead. And he was speaking to them right before the day of Pentecost, about 10 days before the Holy Spirit came in mankind again for the first time in 4,000 years. See, when Adam sinned, he lost his Holy Spirit. He lost the ability to communicate with God, and God had to send his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins and for our health, so that we could once again receive the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And that presence of the power of God within us allows us to have a heart of love for God, absolute, a heart of love for ourselves that is real, and a heart of love for others that is effective. It allows us to live a life of service. It allows us to have a mindset of peace, and allows us to operate the fullness of that absolute power in our life, so that we can draw all nations to God by our example of powerful love. And when we look at this, we see that exactly what he said was going to happen, happened. Jesus Christ told his disciples that they were going to receive power, and after the Holy Spirit came upon them, they would be witnesses of him in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Look at what it says here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. And this is talking about our life of service, our practical reality of how we live our lives. It says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, this is a powerful thing here because it connects with the idea that God says that he will have a people. God will have a name. God will have a praise. And God will have an This says that we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, how are you going to salt? See, salt without its savor, without its flavor, without its preserving power is just sand. It's just like sand on the sea or on the seashore. And it's no good except to be walked upon, right? And that's what happened with God's people when they turned their back on God. They turned their back on their purpose. Their purpose was to be an example and a light and to draw other nations. Do you know what was available for people who were not Jewish to convert, to become proselytes and become a part of the nation of Israel and to submit to the commands of God and to be circumcised and to share in the fullness of all of what God had available? God's intent was to draw other nations through his people at that time, the children of Israel. But because of their rampant disobedience, the opposite happened. And see, in our life, it's the same way. When we rebel against God, when we turn our back on God, when we are not dutiful toward God and having a heart of love and a life of service and a mindset of peace and an operation of absolute power, when we are not doing that, then what we are doing is less than. What we are doing is without effect, without power. And God is saying, I need you to maintain your power, your effectiveness. See, as salt, you're supposed to preserve and flavor. You're supposed to add flavor and you're supposed to be a preservative. We are supposed to enhance the quality of life for others and we're supposed to be drawing others to God by being the light in the world. The world is a very dark place because of what the devil did about 6,000 years ago with Adam and Eve, causing Adam to sin. And when that darkness came upon the world and man became subject to sin and death and disease and sickness, then God had to send his son into the world so that we could once again be made whole, have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, and we could be the light of the world, and we could be those that God would allow to have our light shine before men so that these people can see our good works and God can be glorified by our good works. See, it's our good works here on earth that glorify our Father, which is in heaven. when we do what God has asked us to do, then God is receiving great glory. And God says he will have a people. He will have a name. He will have praise, and he will receive glory. Look at what it says here in Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 to 40. It says, "For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee, or in prison, and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, ye've done it unto me." See, Jesus Christ is saying that when we feed the hungry, when we give drink to the thirsty, when we take in a stranger, when we clothe the naked, when we visit the sick, when we visit those who are in prison, Jesus Christ is saying we are serving him. That life of service is a glory to God. And through our good works, men see our Father's glory as being that light of the world, that salt that preserves and gives flavor to life. And that is the difference. See, when God's people were blessed, the other nations, they stood in fear and awe of God and his people because God behind what they did. God blessed them and made it the best. And God said from the beginning, "I set before you life and death, blessings and cursings." And then he said, "Choose life." See, the choice is always ours. We can choose life and blessings, or we can choose death and cursings. And it is our actions. When we are obedient to God, we are choosing life and blessings. We are choosing to be blessed. And when we are disobedient and rebellious, we are choosing death and curses. And we do not want to be cursed. We do not want death. We do not want sickness. We do not want disease. So we walk in love because absolute love, love casteth out fear. See, that is so powerful. And when we live in a time of a global pandemic, what you see destroying people more than anything else is fear. But if we know that perfect love casts out fear, then we know that what the world needs is to know God's love. And the way they're going to experience it is through us. And when they see our example, they're going to be drawn to God. And we are going to have the opportunity to introduce them to God's Son, Jesus Christ, who can allow them to come into relationship with God just as we came into relationship with God. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. It says, "And whosoever shall drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." See, God is concerned about our reward. When we let our light shine in the world, we are securing our eternal rewards in heaven. This is powerful. Look at what it says in Hebrews 6:10. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." See, we are making a name for God when we walk in love toward others and live a life of service and a mindset of peace and an operation of absolute power. And when we do this, this verse in Hebrews 6:10 says that God is not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love. He's going to reward us. He's not asking us to do this for nothing, because we are making his name a glorious name in the earth. And see, that was the problem with what God's people did in the Old Testament when they were in disobedience, is they were sullying the name of God. They were making God's name a laughingstock because they were chasing after other gods openly, as no other nation had. They didn't even understand it. They said, what nation, what crazy group of people goes chasing after other nations' gods? That wasn't normal. Look at what it says here in James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, many people will use religion as a distraction, as a smokescreen, as a tool to gain influence. But God says that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless. See, those who are fatherless, they have no protection, no covering, no guard. They are vulnerable. To visit the widows, they also lack protection and covering. And God says, visit the fatherless, visit the widows in their affliction, and keep yourself unspotted from the world. Allow your life to be on God and his word and his mission, his purpose that he placed within you to draw all nations to him through his son, Jesus Christ. Look at what it says here in James chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. It says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So your faith without your works is dead. And God is saying, if your brother and sister come to you and they don't have food, feed them. If your brother and sister come to you and they're not warmed, warm them. If your brother and sister come to you and they don't have clothes, give them clothes. Provide for your brethren and sisters, your brothers and sisters in Christ. This is love. This is service. This is peace. This is power. And in doing this, we are the salt of the earth. The flavor of life flows through us. We preserve this dark world and until the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are the light of the world because we're showing the love of God to others and introducing them to God's son, Jesus Christ, so that they too can come in relationship with God and God can fulfill his purpose of creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations. This is essential for us to understand that we are actively a part of making this happen. And so now in Luke, it says, and the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answereth and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him depart. Let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. So this is saying that if you have two coats, give somebody the coat that you don't use who has no coat. so that both of you can have a coat, right? He says, if one of you has meat to eat and the other does not, your brother or sister in Christ does not have meat to eat, give them some of your meat so that both of you can have meat to eat, right? Look at what it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 to 6. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. So this is saying to forgive others and restore them in a spirit of meekness, knowing that we too could be tempted, right? And then it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. So this is telling us, look, we have to allow our work to be what we rejoice in, not someone else's work. We have to be humble so that we don't think more of ourselves than we ought, and God can use each and every one of us. And we have to be the ones who bear one another's burdens so that we can fulfill the law of Christ, which is the law of love, which says that we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love ourselves, but then we love others, especially those of the household of faith. We favor them even more. Look at what it says here in 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. It says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and sheddeth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed, and in truth. See, one of the things that I believe God is telling us in the Bible when he says that we are the temple of God, we are the dwelling place of God, is that we are the place of provision. And this is what has not been taught in the church or understood. The temple had around its perimeter storerooms. And what would happen is when people made their offerings to God, those offerings would be placed in the storeroom and they would be used as a way to feed the priests, a way to provide for those who were to be ministered to with those provisions. And what God told his people in the Old Testament was to set aside the first, the tenth of all of their increase, so that if another had need, they could provide that need individually, right? So we are individually the dwelling place, the temple of God. We know what that means in terms of having the Holy Spirit within us and being able to go before God in the most holy place and speak in tongues to God individually and communicate with him. But when it comes down to God's provision in our life, when that instruction to take our first and our best and put it on inside of us, put it aside, so that when you're brother or sister, or even somebody who is seeking God has need, you have it to give to them. But what we've done is we've taught this theology that says that we are to give this increase to others and then trust them with distributing what God has for us to distribute to others. Do you see where that is the next level of what God has in mind for us when he says that we are the temple of God? The temple of God is a place of provision. So when we learn to discipline ourselves to put that increase aside and then to look for those opportunities to distribute to those who have need that God has immediately assigned to us, that means that they're going to respond to God's love from us that we extend to them. And when God opens the door for us to introduce them to his son, Jesus Christ, we're going to do it because they're clothed and they're fed and they have drink and they have food and they have a coat, and we're loving them for real. See, our faith is not going to be dead because it's going to have works to back it up. And look at what it says here, so that we could really get down to this and understand that God has a plan for our life so that our duty, God, can be fulfilled and we can have a heart of love. We can have a life of service. We can have a mindset of peace, and we can have an absolute operation of God's absolute power within our life. Look at what God said to his people in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 9. He says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets above thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." And so basically God is saying, look, my commandments are supposed to be engraved in your heart. They're supposed to surround you. You're supposed to teach them to your children. And it's because the blessings of God come by following the commands of God. Everything God says is a command. It is not optional. You must do what God says. So when God says the law of Christ is for you to love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, for you to love yourself, and for you to love others, even your enemies, then that is God's law. That is God's command. Look at what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "Any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." And God is saying, look, the people immediately around you are the ones that you're supposed to be caring for. And see, ministry starts at home. I'll tell you that we are all trained first in our house to learn how to love, how to forgive, how to be gracious, and to learn to minister to the needs of others and to be selfless and to allow other people to see God's love through us. It said, but if you don't provide for your own, especially for those of your own house, you've denied faith. Worse than a believer. That's a hard Hey, that's a hard word. Look at what it says here in Proverbs 22:6. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." See, it's our example of love, our life of power, our life of service, our mindset of peace that God is looking for, because that's going to allow God to dwell with his people who are called by his name, to give him praise and to bring him glory. And we are going to be helping God to fulfill his purpose of drawing all nations to him by our powerful example of. So I'm going to end tonight in this passage of scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 to 19, where it says, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Basically, at all times, we're supposed to be sharing the word of God with others. And that is our duty. Our duty is to make sure that we are living a life of love and power and allowing our life of service and a mindset of peace and the operation of God's absolute power in our life to be manifested in the world. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you to really make it your mindset to understand that when you live for God, you are drawing all nations to God by your example. You are not pushing others away. You're drawing others to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who can present them to his Heavenly Father in heaven, God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, so that he can be made known among all nations and God can fulfill his purpose of creating his heavenly kingdom of many nations. And we can be his people called by his name to give him praise and to bring him glory intentionally, because we live with a heart of love, a life of service, a mindset of peace, and an operation of God's absolute power within our life. That is our duty, and that is our purpose. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight. God, Father, I thank you for you blessing someone and strengthening them. Father, I thank you for you encouraging them and allowing them to encourage others in a walk in the fullness of all of your blessings for their life. God, I thank you for you giving them divine strategy so that they can learn how to make time to study your word, to make time to pray and speak to you directly in their heavenly prayer language as well as their earthly language. Father, I thank you for you giving them a desire to sing to you in their heavenly prayer language, as well as to sing to you with their understanding, God. Father, I'm giving them a desire to study your word and share it with others so that others can benefit from the promises that you made available to them. Father, I thank you for allowing each and every one of us to have a wonderful sleep tonight, and I thank you for your health and your blessings that you bestowed upon us tonight. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from Spirit Live Network and your host, Lester Carver, with Tuesday Night Teachings, Be Ye Transformed.
Put his glory on display and let it show. So let there be light, let there be light, let there be light, let there be light. I was in the dark, like the basement. My heart used to love sin, then he changed it. Look what grace did. Couldn't live without her, got no strength on my own. Yo, I'm living solar power, getting bright lit. This ain't no light switch, I can't turn it on and off. Look, come ignite this. I wanna be that flame in the dark where no light is. While I'm in this frame, I show them who the Christ is. When they see my DVD, I'm just being me. I hope that they seeing you every time they seeing me. Treating others the same way that I would want them treating me. Yeah, we say it all the time, but that ain't done so easily. So Jesus, give me your heart, mine is deceitful. Then give me your eyes, I wanna see people same way that you see them. Cause you all that they need, it's like I'm Peter. Though I'm falling, you're still calling me to feed them. In a dark world, how they gonna know if we don't put his glory on display and let it show? So let there be light, let there be light, let there be light, let there be light. If they're in a dark world, how they gonna know if we don't put his glory on display and let it show?
saw my old friend, ran into my boy Oxman and had me broken, cause he was doing things that I know I had taught him back when I was in sin. Now I know the world's watching. You're giving hands, feet, tongue, eyes, and the like to show the world what we really prize is the Christ. So take that Romans 12:1, apply it to your life. Let your light shine, your body's a living sacrifice. With you on them verses, the light in you could be darkness. So are you certain? I pray, Father, search in. Work in peace for your throne on the seat of my heart. So I leave that joint alone. All I know is that I'm prone to wander and to roam. So put fire in these bones. By your spirit, make me strong. If we light, then we own. It's time to make him known. We illuminate the dark till the day coming home. In a dark world, how to get to know? If we don't put his glory on display and let it show. So let there be light, let there be light, let there be light, let there be light. We living in a dark world, how they gonna know? If we don't put his glory on display and let it show. So let there be light, let there be light, yeah. Let there be light, yeah. Let there be light. City on a hilltop, and I know the only way, so hit me when you feel lost, yeah, so put your shades on, you know, lower your frames, cause when this glory shine, you gon' lower your frames, higher than smoking Mary Jane on an aeroplane, his name break, that's why Craig is living for Jesus, man, much love to the folks in the church, light up the world while they putting in work, even when it hurt, man, we can't stop now, some gave in when the day gave out, but we can't lose what we never did earn, walk with the sun so my life's gon' burn, never giving up and I'm never gon' turn, go in the dark till the Lord return. Yeah, Genesis 1:3 on mine, homie. So let there be light. I'm trying
we
to shine,
living
homie.
In a dark world, how they gonna know? If we don't put his glory on display and let it show. So let there be light, let there be light, let there be light, let there be light. We living in a dark world, how they gonna know? If we don't put his glory on display and let it show. So let there be light, let there be light. Let there be light.